You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's officially Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, even though it's Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase in for Caroline. 102.5, 106.3 the game.
It's all in the family.
All in the family. That is right. Chase McCabe in for Caroline today. Willie Donick has joined us as the Predators have wrapped up morning skate. They'll take on the New Jersey Devils tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. It's going to be a fun game. This is a Devils team that is just taking a leap. This year is one of the best in hockey. I talked to Greg Wyshynski this morning. We were just talking about how fast they are and moving the puck around. So it'll be a fun one to watch for sure. But, Willie, welcome in. Good to see you. Been a minute.
Good to see you, yeah.
Putting the band back
together. Yeah, the band is back together. Boy, it's just like an old shoe.
The band's back together.
It's just like an old shoe. It just slips right back on.
Yep, exactly. But we're talking about – Bill Barnwell has an article – on ESPN Plus about the seven teams that missed the playoffs last year that had made it the previous year. And so we were kind of discussing that. And the big thing that he referenced with the Titans was 22 players on injured reserve, which included the starting quarterback, the entire offensive line, and then two of the key linebackers on defense, as well as many, many others. And Ken from Waverly on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says the Titans need to really evaluate their medical staff. I think they are weak-minded. They need to toughen up and, in turn, toughen up the players. And I'm curious, Derek, as you laugh, your thoughts on that.
Thank you for the text as well. And we appreciate everybody's text, whether we agree with them or not. We appreciate it because that's their opinion. But, I mean, it's hard to – how do you – Willie, how do you evaluate weak-minded person, like medical staff? How do you evaluate that? I mean, how do you do? I mean, Chase, I'm asking.
I don't know.
Like, Willie?
I think it's
Ladarius, how do you evaluate weak-minded medical staffs? Give them a test?
You know what? We've talked about this before. There's a few things in sports that are the absolute thankless jobs.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is the training staff on a team that has an injury issue, right? If a team stays healthy, you rarely hear, what a great training staff they have. Man, it's amazing. They're keeping this team healthy. They get no credit for that.
No.
But as soon as you have a rash of injuries, what's going on with the training staff? What's going on with strength and conditioning? They must not be doing a very good job. Like, it's like that is an automatic thing that gets asked. And, look, with the Titans being as snake bit as they have been the last couple of years, they get asked a lot. And they have no choice but to say, look, we got to look at everything we're doing. We're going to see if we can do anything better. But it's not as if they're not aware, right? And they're not working as hard as they could possibly look. To think that those guys in the training room don't know what they're doing or something, which is what some outsiders will theorize when a team has a bunch of injuries, I think nothing could be further from the truth. You do not get to this level in the NFL without knowing what you're doing and knowing a deep, deep understanding of how to treat injuries, how to try to prevent injuries. You could be doing everything right, I think, and still have this happen.
But
it's not your fault.
Sure, but I think it's 2 years in a row that you've had a rash of injuries.
Right. But what about the years prior to that? Because this is the same staff.
Sure.
Like, this is the same training staff that they've had.
Yeah.
Because I know some of the people that are over there. Yeah. They were there when I was there.
Right.
So
they didn't forget how to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like, man, how do I treat a hamstring?
Exactly.
You guys ever heard of a hamstring injury? Like, oh, no, I've never heard of that. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean.
This guy pulled his
really groin.
What do we do for that? I don't know.
So it's like Willie said it. It's a thankless job because when everybody's healthy, no one's congratulating. Or, hey, you know what? They're calling in or texting us or tweeting us. Hey, man, y'all hear about that Titans training staff? Look at that team. They're good, man. No injuries. No, but the minute they have had their rash of injuries over the last 2 years. But to me, I think they just had – it's just been them. You know, it's been – you're going to have your injuries throughout the NFL. Some teams are going to have a lot of injuries, but what? We don't cover those teams, so what? We don't care about what's going on with their medical staff and their injuries. We only know about their injuries when they play us. We don't know about their injuries when they're playing some other team 3 weeks from now, especially a team we only play once a season. So that medical staff could be having some of the same issues we're having, but we're not following them. Everything is magnified here in Nashville because we follow them. The team has been hit with a rash of injuries, but it hasn't all been, you know, hamstring issues or, you know, pulled muscles. There's been ACLs, concussions, things you just can't avoid in a game.
I think there's also some variables, too, but beyond the training staff. The individual player, and I'm not picking on, I have no idea who would fit into this category or doesn't
Vrabel
fit into
did
this
that.
Category. He kind of did. The soft tissue. He did kind of name some names. He called them like repeat offenders. But sticking with the program, paying extra detail. I've had a hamstring injury before. I've had a groin pull before. What can I do extra in the off season to make sure I can maybe decrease the chances of it recurring? You know, what about when you're on a program? You're supposed to be out for 2 weeks. Well, am I doing every single thing I can do in those 2 weeks? Am I working as hard as I need to be working in the physical therapy sessions? I think we all, you know, if you've ever had either sports-related or just work-related injury and they send you to one of the great facilities we have around town, right? There's tons of them. You're in there with a group of people. I'm sure if you look around the room, there's some people when the trainer or your physical therapist says, okay, I need you to do 3 sets of 10. You know, take this roller. You know, work. For me, recently I had a bad shoulder injury. Remember the infamous pickleball injury, right? So I spent a lot of time with those guys. And so you look around, you know, who's working hard? There's some people that are just kind of going through the motions. You know, okay, I got to go. They're sending me here. I guess I got to go over here. Like, there is a variable there, right? Mm-hmm. Who's working as hard as they can work? Who's not? Derek, I'm sure you saw through the years some guys who are unbelievable. They get back quicker than they're supposed to because they work real hard. They listen to every detail. Yeah. Other guys, maybe it doesn't come as easy to them with that.
Well, and then some guys are this way. And you know, I played with a lot of guys that were this way. You know, the most notable was Steve. It's like, I don't need to get back to 100%, but just get me back on the field. That's all you need to do. Get me back on the field. I don't need to be 100% because in this sport, you're not going to be 100%. Just get me back on the field and I will, but I'm going to do everything that I need to do in the process, but just get me back on the field. If I tell you I'm ready, let me go out there and test it and see if I'm ready. Some guys in this new NFL, they're not ready until they feel they're 100%. They don't want to, and I get it.
Pain
because
tolerance,
it's a business to them and I understand it. But you got to have some of those guys that are like, listen, I know I'm not going to get back to 100%, but get me back to a whatever percent it is where I can go out there and I can test it. And if I can maintain that, you know, if I can sort of get through that threshold of pain, then I'm good. I don't need to be 100%. Some guys need to be 100%.
How much, though, is it the player saying that they need to be 100%, and how much is it the organization's being overprotective? Because I do think some of that happens.
I think they are overprotective when it comes to concussions. I think they should be.
Yeah, I get that.
Because a player is like, listen,
it's
I can go.
Very sensitive thing.
I can go. I'm fine. And then the medical staff is like, nah, let's hold off. I understand that. But in other situations, hamstrings, you're coming back from an ACL, it's ultimately up to the player. Like, listen, how do you feel today? You feel like you can go out? Yes. Yes or no? Yeah, I can feel like I can go and try and see what happens. Okay, I go out there, go through walkthrough or warm ups and say, Coach, I can't, you know, give me another day. All right, cool. But then there are some guys that go out there and like, you know, I'm going to push it through. I'm going to push it as long as I possibly can. And then I will pull back. But if I can push it through practice, I make it through practice, then the next day I'm going to go in and get treatment so the next day I can come back out and go a little bit further. You have a lot of guys, I believe, that won't do that. And that's not on the medical staff.
Yeah. No,
you got to know your body.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think there's this guy, too, right? There's the guy that always tells you, I'm good. I can go. Uh-huh. And it may be a hamstring.
And he pushes
too
much.
And you're like, wait, Derek, I don't know, man. I mean, you know how hamstrings are, man. You could re-aggravate that. Oh, no, no, no. I'm good. I want to get out. I got to get out there. And that's when they re-aggravate it. So yeah. you have to really be smart.
Yeah.
With like, that, you got to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? If you still feel like, you know, it could go again, the guy then you got to be smart about that.
The guy that's dealt with the hammy all year, to me, is, I think, the guy that's tried to push through, and it's like, dude, you just got to let it heal. Like, yeah. you just got
to. And that's, to me, that's one of the hardest things, that specific injury. And yeah. I've had that before, too, mm-hmm. where you know, you start running around, you're like, oh, it feels good. And it does.
Right.
But then you start that one time, it could go again. That's what you really don't know. It doesn't, like, start creeping up on you every time, right? You could have it pull, then you start running around. It feels good for about 30 minutes or so, and then all of a sudden, same thing happens again.
Well, and how many times have you seen here, you know, in Nashville, that he, on a Thursday, it feels great, but it's 50 degrees. On game time, it's 20. And what that does, I mean, because that does affect sure. it, you know.
But then that's up to the player. That's why Vrabel loves, like, Jeffrey Simmons. That's why he loves, like, David Long Jr.
Jeff's like, shoot it up, let's go.
And somebody like Ryan Tannehill or yeah. Ben Jones. Why? Because those guys fight. Those guys understand everybody is hurt. Fight through it. We got to fight through it. Some guys don't want to fight through it. That's why when you talk about certain guys, he's like,
Willie, you know the line. You know the line. Barry Trotz, are you hurt or are you injured?
Yeah. The hockey guys, very similar culture.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it's very, very different. Mm-hmm. It's Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace, but it's actually Chase, Willie, and D. Mace today in for Caroline. She's off for the rest of the week. We're live at Bridgestone Arena for the Predators and the Devils coming up tonight at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We'll have more on that and much more coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I actually just saw them the other night rally to beat Vegas. There's a couple things you got to keep in mind. First of all, if you're somebody familiar with the Devils through the years, this is not your father's New Jersey Devils. They are a fast, quick, offensive team. They attack on the forecheck. They try to get out on as many odd man rushes as they can, and they become very adept at getting back into their own zone to defend you. To make sure that you don't get those odd man rushes back the other way. Jack Hughes has leveled up to become a star in this league. I mean, he is now making plays in every game that kind of leave you slack-jawed in how quick he can make them and actually getting better in handling the physicality of the game, which was really the biggest problem for him in his first couple seasons after being selected first overall.
That's Greg Wyshynski of ESPN earlier this morning on Chase and Michelle talking about the Devils, who come in here tonight to take on the Nashville Predators. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Devils coverage will begin at 6 o'clock later on tonight here on 102.5. The Game. Reporter Nick Kieser, is back at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that yet, but he's a reporter, so we have to acknowledge him as that.
Yes, Reporter Nick.
That's what he is. So we know that Alex Carrier has been he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. The Predators announced that today. They've recalled Kevin Gravel from Milwaukee, who we've seen at various points this year. That's one of those you respect Alex Carrier for going toe-to-toe defending his teammate, but you know, a 5 foot, what is he, 5'6" guy taking on a 6'7" guy?
He's listed at 5'11".
5'11", sorry, Alex, when trying to insult you there. But 5'11", going
against...
We're
not talking Cliff Ronning.
Yeah. 5'11", going against a 6'7" guy. I don't recommend that, and he's going to miss some time.
Well, they announced 4 to 6 weeks, and John Hines did say after the game, it was the fight where he got hurt. So it's unfortunate. Now, he will gain in the long term even more respect. He's a respected player, but that just gains folklore right there. And you heard what every one of his teammates, starting with Cody Glass, had to say about that reaction. You know, so that got people going.
Matthias Ekholm was
you think about him. Yep, I heard what he said yesterday talking to you, Chase. And think about also when that happened in the game. It was the first period. The Jets scored on the first minute of the game. So you're down 1-0, and Nashville was struggling a little bit, I think, in the first 5-6 minutes to get going, find their game. And they needed a little bit of a spark. And then here comes Cody Glass, gets absolutely pummeled by a rookie, and Alex Carrier jumps in there, doesn't think about it, goes and does it. So I do think that that helped turn the game around. Now, you got to figure out how to get through. They have not played nearly as well. There's been a drop-off in games, if you take a look, when Carrier has been out. Yeah. So this is going to be a test because one of the stabilizing things on this team has been since they put McDonough with Yossi and since they went Carrier Ekholm, that's given them two really solid pairs. And then I think Jeremy Lauzon has really found his game with Dante Fabro on the third pair. And so that's disrupted a little bit. And so we'll see how they go with the pairs tonight. I do think that with the five defensemen, after Carrier was out, they bumped up the minutes for all of them, and they really did a good job. And you know you've got this long break coming. So I think you could maybe be a little creative tonight. You don't necessarily just have to roll three pairs. I think you use the five, kind of the way they did against the Jets, and you spot Gravel, who's he's a good size. He's a good penalty killer. So if you end up in the box, I think that's his strength. The power play, you kind of know who's going to be out there, and yeah. You didn't need a power play guy, so Gravel doesn't do that. So I think that's why they chose Gravel for this one game. And then the other silver lining of this is two of those 4 weeks basically will be shaved off
with the
break. So Carrier probably misses maybe a half dozen games less than he would have if they were playing throughout this process. So hopefully it's a fast heal, but we'll see. But he's a very important player for this team.
You know, obviously there's connections to the Devils. John Hines was the head coach with the Devils. Tom Fitzgerald, the first captain of the Nashville Predators, is their general manager. Andrew Brunette, who was on the original team, scored the first goal for the Preds in their history, is an assistant coach. And then Sebastian Bortolo.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Skills coach for the Predators, who travels with the team now. He's always on hand. You'll see him on the bench for warm-ups most nights, but he doesn't sit on the bench for the games. But so you got three original Preds in the house. I'm sure they're going to share some memories of those first days. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned John Hines' history with the Devils. You know, the Devils, it's finally now coming together. You just heard Greg Wyshynski talking about how explosive this Devils team is right now. A couple of first overall picks, Hughes and Hischier, now hitting it, right? Nico Hischier was 18 years old when John Hines was the coach. Wasn't ready. Was not one of those immediate guys like Connor McDavid who just walks into the league and starts dominating. It took a while for him, but now he's there. Jack Hughes, took him a year or two. Now he has exploded, 30 goals, 30 assists. He shares 46 goals or 46 points in 46 games. So it took a while for the Devils to build. John Hines was there. They did not have the horses at that time. They didn't have the goaltending, that's for sure, which is why it's interesting. Tom Fitzgerald, as the GM, had to fire John Hines.
Yeah.
It was the ownership that basically said, look, we're struggling. We got to do something. Let's fire the coach. But Tom Fitzgerald saw John Hines long enough, saw what he did every day, and recommended John Hines to David Poile and said, this is a good coach. Don't be fooled by the record. This guy does a very good job. This is a guy you need to look at. So it's interesting. I think about that every time these two teams play. And I'm sure John Hines thinks about it. And so this is a very good test here. Devils coming in at 18-2-2 on the road, the best in the league.
It's gonna be one of those, like I like to call it, measuring stick games. That's for sure. See where you measure up against one of the top teams in the league before the All-Star break. There are times where when a team starts building momentum, they've won 8 of their last 12, I think it is, that you don't want to see it stop. But I think this team could probably use a little bit of a break because things are just going to tighten up even more. And the other part of it is, too, it gives David Poile and company time to do some analysis of what they got and what they want to do. If you missed my one-on-one with David Poile earlier today, you can go to thegamenashville.com. But one of the things I brought up with him is how difficult it is to evaluate what you want to do at the trade deadline because the cap's not going to move that much. Teams are right up against the cap. GMs are going to have to get creative to move stuff around. And he basically said, Chase, I'm probably not going to – you're not really going to know until maybe a day before. You might see some moves happen, you know, as you get closer to it. But, I mean, think about it. We were talking about this the other day. How many moves have you seen to this point? None, really.
There's really has not been a significant trade since the season started. I was listening to Gary Bettman the other day where, among other things, he said he doesn't think teams tank. I don't, Gary, we're not buying that.
And he had Chicago Blackhawks.
He had his ways of saying it, right? You know, players and coaches every night are trying. Yeah, I get that. But we know that teams have been set up without a lot of really good players. And there are ways to do it. He knows that as well as anybody else. But another thing he said was that one of the reasons the cap hasn't gone up, they're still paying back. They're still getting the revenues set from the COVID years and all the revenue lost because they didn't have the crowd in there for the better part of two seasons, right? So, and really parts of three seasons when you get down to it. But he did say there is a chance that next year the cap will go up a little bit more, whereas a couple of months ago he said it's only going to go up about $1 million. So the GMs have got to be saying, ooh, wait a minute now. If it goes up a little bit more next year, maybe we can be a little more creative and a little more flexible in how we go about it. So we'll see if they actually can make an announcement on that. But keep an eye out for that. If they do say that the cap's not going to go anywhere this year, and teams are up against it, it's going to make deals tough. But if they announce that it will go up next year, then maybe that does open the door for a few more moves at the deadline. But I think for Nashville, you got this game tonight. You have to justify it. Hey, we need this break because you're getting the break, whether you want to keep playing or not. You have this break. You have to take advantage of it. And then the big story will be, can you come back in and play well on the other side? Because it's almost like a new season. Can you imagine, Derek? I mean, you have a bye week, right, in the NFL. I don't know what it feels like when you get back from a bye week, but imagine 11 straight days in a season where you're off, when you're used to playing every other night, right? That's a big time break in the rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, they want you to get away from it. Go somewhere. Take your family, take your buddy, whatever. Get away, go somewhere, place warm, do whatever you want, and then come back ready to play. But you can think about how that will change up the rhythm in a lot of these teams, right?
Yeah,
for that much
I
of a
mean,
break.
It can help. Or, you know, in some situations it could hurt because you're in a rhythm and you're winning and everything's going well. Then all of a sudden, you know, you take this two weeks off and then you come back at it. And now the rhythm's thrown off just a little bit. Everybody got to work themselves back into rotation and everything else. But like you said it perfectly. I mean, in the NFL, depending on when you have that break. Now, if you have that break in the middle of the season, it's like, okay, we take 3 or 4 days off, 5 days off, and it's like, whew, man, it feels like now it's a new season. Everybody, we've gotten some guys back that was hurt. We look like a new team. We look like a healthy team. Now let's start to push. So it is essentially, if it happens in the middle of the season, it is essentially a new season, the second half of the season.
I feel like that. I do think it's like two seasons almost. This is what the players negotiated. This is what they want. But there are teams that will handle it better than other teams when they get back. We'll cross that bridge when they come to it, right? In the meantime, you want to just stay in that mode tonight. It's battle mode. It's stay with the things that have been successful in these last couple of wins. The engagement, the passion, the detail, top players leading the way. They're going to need all of that tonight because this is the best team that they faced in this last stretch of games. They've been beating some good teams here, but this will be the best team they face in a while.
I'm going to leave you with this, Willie. You'll be very proud of me. I watched some college hoops last night.
Very good.
Tennessee whooping up on Georgia. It's a good time.
What did I tell you yesterday, Chase? You went on this little rant about your coach.
I know.
Right? Well, what did I tell you?
He's not my coach, but no. I went on a little rant. You said they got players. They got talent.
I said this Tennessee team can win it. They are the number one. Now, they showed this last night. They're the number one defensive team in the country.
Yeah.
You have to work to score 50, 55 points against them. And Georgia ended up with what, 40?
41.
41? Mm. And it was – they couldn't get anything. Tennessee didn't even play that well last night. The stretch that I watched.
No, they didn't. They spread – and they were spreading the ball around, you know, too. I mean, it wasn't just one guy.
I do think that the question for Tennessee will be, can they – They have enough guys who can score, but when it's time, like who's the man? who's the man when you need a big bucket in those tournament games. But they're going to have the defense that is going to give them a chance every single night. I don't care who they are playing. And I think they really have the what it takes. They could go all the way. They could.
We will see. All right, I turn it over to you guys. It's been fun putting the band back together. Only a few songs today, but you know, we'll
keep rehearsing.
We'll do it again. We'll do it again soon.
The next reunion.
More Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Back on 102.5 The Game, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here with you from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Devils later on tonight. Our coverage begins at 6 o'clock. D-Mace, let's talk. You heard Chase going out to the break talking about the two matchups, AFC and NFC championship games. Four really good teams that have had great seasons. No real surprise guests. Mm-hmm. So I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things to look for in this game. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, I'm sure. But I'm really looking forward to these games. I think you could have two outstanding contests here. I want to start in the NFC.
Uh-huh.
We have watched this Eagles offense all year long. And, of course, from a Titans perspective, it's like, wait a minute, A.J. Brown had another great game.
another.
This isn't looking good here. From the trades perspective here, but you know they've shown some versatility. They run the ball very well as a group, starting with Hurts. They've got the two great receivers on the outside. It's a versatile offense. But now you face probably the best defense. This 49er defense has been incredible. Mm-hmm. That's the matchup I'm really curious about. Do you think Hurts can have the type of effectiveness against that type of defense? I would say this is probably the best defense that they've faced all year long.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, anybody that goes against San Francisco 49ers, because they are the number one ranked defense in the National Football League. I mean, you know who's right behind them? The Philadelphia Eagles, they're number two. So this might be the best this is the best defense that the San Francisco 49ers would have faced from its totality. I mean, you know, from everything. Getting turnovers, sacking the quarterback, putting pressure on the quarterback, everything else. You know, yards per game, everything. So both of these offenses, I think, are in for a long day. But here's what I like about Philadelphia. And Chase and I discussed this somewhat early in the show or toward the end of he and Michelle's show. Philadelphia is the most complete team in the National Football League from an offensive standpoint. For one, they have the best offensive line in the National Football League, and that's where it all starts, in the trenches. If you have an offensive line that can block for you, more than likely you're going to have a productive offense. You might not have the number one offense, but you're going to have one of the most productive offenses out there, game in and game out. So it starts with the offensive line. They got one of the best offensive line. And then you look at who's underneath center. Jalen Hurts, he's having an MVP caliber season. Had he not gotten hurt, I think he would have been the leader in the MVP race. But now, you know, he missed a few games, so that knocked him down a little bit. And maybe Mahomes or Burrow wins it, or even Jefferson, because he's in it as well. So you look at the quarterback position. Are there any flaws that we've seen this season from Jalen Hurts? No, there's no flaws. He passed the ball extremely well. He's very efficient in what he does, high percentage rates. He doesn't put this team in bad positions throwing the football. And then not only that, he runs the ball extremely well when he's asked to do that, whether it be the RPOs or just him, you know, plays breaking down and him finding holes in defenses and scampering for, you know, chunks of yardage. But then he also has the ability to keep everybody sort of in the game. I know last week, AJ only had like three catches, and it was noticeable in AJ. He wanted the ball more.
Sure.
But he understands that one week it might be AJ, one week it might be Devontae Smith, one week it might be Goddard the tight end. Or we may throw the ball to Sanders out of the backfield. Jalen Hurts, he's mastered the art of getting everybody the ball or keeping everybody sort of satisfied within his offense, because he's doing the same thing that Joe Burrow is doing. He's finding open guys. He doesn't care who he throws it to. Just get open.
Yeah.
Because everybody's time is going to come. 1 week, it may be A.J. Brown. 1 week, it may be Devontae Smith. One week, it may be both of them. Yeah. Or 1 week, it may be none of them but the tight end.
Well, and last week, they didn't have to throw it that much.
Exactly.
They ran the heck out of the ball.
Absolutely. That's
the mark to me of a really tough offense. Is mm-hmm. you can't cheat to any one
thing.
They
can beat you multiple ways.
Yes. And like you said, you need guys that can understand that and not mm-hmm. freak out if you have a week where you only get three or four passes thrown to mm-hmm. you, right? You understand that over time,
exactly,
you're going to get your numbers. Mm-hmm. Like A.J. Brown might have a game or two like that, but at the end of the season, he had 1,400 and he set the record for most receiving yards in a season. That definitely jumps out at to me. Now, you mentioned how good Philadelphia's defense is. Mm-hmm. This is a great test for Brock Purdy here.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is all hypothetical. I think he's a guy that's easy to root for as the underdog, right? But if he looks a little bit overmatched, and you can see where that could happen, right? Mm-hmm. Hostile environment. Maybe the weather's a little chilly. Maybe things snowball. He makes a couple of mistakes. If the last impression isn't good, I do wonder what that does throughout the offseason. As they say, only one team ends up really feeling great about their season. But if their defense plays well, but their offense can't quite figure out a really tough defense and Purdy struggles, I do wonder if that will turn him into a pumpkin a little bit more, right? Because right now he is riding this wave. He hasn't lost. He's the darling of everything. He hasn't played bad yet at all. But it's when you're like him, it's a little bit like we saw with Stetson Bennett. There's going to be a lot of doubters. Right, that mm-hmm. as soon as you have a bad game and you're that underdog guy, like aha,
he turned it about.
He's not that good. I told you, it catch up with him sooner or later, and you know it may not be. He's going to have to live with that.
Yeah, he is, and it's going to be tough for him because I don't think he's, if you know, recent memory, I don't think he's played a team that is as aggressive and versatile in what they could do it from a defensive standpoint. They got pass rushers. I mean, they got guys that can cover. They work well within the system that they're in. You don't know where the blitz is coming from. Guys, you know, they hold their water long enough that the quarterback can't get a beat on what they're doing. And then they're all fast and physical, and they know exactly what they're doing. I don't think Brock Purdy has faced a defense like Philadelphia. And that environment is going to be hostile. I don't think – if you haven't played in Philadelphia, you ain't played in a place. You know, it's if you're an opposing team and you have not played in Philadelphia, whether it be in a regular season or in the playoffs, then you ain't really played, because that environment is probably the most hostile environment in the National Football League for opposing teams, because they're rowdy. They're loud, they're mean, and they love their team. And Philadelphia feeds off that. The defense feeds off that. And what San Fran can't do, one, they can't get behind. And then two, you can't, you know, have a lot of third and longs against Philadelphia. You just can't, because not only is that defense going to get to you, that crowd is going to make it very difficult. Difficult for you to run your offense. So it's going to be eye-opening, I know, for Brock Purdy, and it's going to be interesting just to see how they try to, from an offensive standpoint, how Kyle Shanahan tries to combat not only that defense but that crowd of Philadelphia.
One of these teams is going to advance to the Super Bowl without a quarterback who was picked in the first round as the, quote, franchise quarterback. Yeah. So that's an interesting dynamic to this game. And for the team that wins, everybody's going to be like, see, you can do it. You don't have to have the first overall pick to get your quarterback. And then the other way, whoever loses, like, see, he's, I don't know. Like, especially if the quarterback doesn't play particularly well. That's why, as you always say, Derek, the quarterback gets what? Too much credit.
Exactly.
And too much blame.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the AFC matchup. Get Derek's thoughts on that. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock, the very best in the business when it comes to talking NHL, Elliot Friedman. So that's coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more from here at Pete and Terry's on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. We're back to Pete and Terry's. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Coming up at 1 o'clock, it will be Elliot Friedman. That's going to be some excellent conversation on some hockey fronts. So, D-Mace, before we get into the AFC Championship game, tell people what you're doing this weekend. This is going to be pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. Headed to the Boston Lakers game this weekend. My son, we try to get to at least one Laker game. Because, of course, everybody, if you know me, you know my son loves the Los Angeles Lakers. More importantly, he loves LeBron James.
Okay.
So it's not just the Lakers. I told him, listen, I've been a Laker fan since the early 80s. You just became a Laker fan because of LeBron. So
you guys have aligned very conveniently here when he
exactly.
became a Laker. Yeah.
So, I'm hoping that all the snow is gone because they did get some snow the last couple of days. But hopefully it's all gone and we can enjoy the Laker game.
So your son's at Boston U. So it's Lakers-Celtics in the Garden. So was that the – you said you went to this game last year.
Yeah. They end up losing last year. The Lakers end up losing. Boston won. AD will be back, Anthony Davis. So hopefully –
the monobrow.
Exactly. Hopefully that gives them a spark. But they've been playing pretty good. They made a trade yesterday. They acquired – a swingman, 6'8 swingman from the Wizards. I can't pronounce his last name, but he averaged 13 points per game, so he should fit right in with what the Lakers need. They need more scoring, more three-point shooting, and they need a little bit more rebounding, but they get that once AD comes back. So it'll be fun this weekend.
You and I can remember those great games in the 80s between teams, right?
Oh,
and
man.
There's been great documentaries.
It was must-watch television when those two teams played.
It was the best. So that is one thing I wish that I had gotten to some event in the old Boston Garden.
Oh, yeah, the old parquet floor.
Yeah, I never got to go to a game there. That would have been cool.
Yeah, the whole parquet floor. I didn't get a chance to go either.
Yeah.
both missed out.
Did you ever – I never went to the old Forum in L.A. either. Did you ever get out that way?
Didn't get a chance to go to the Forum. I've been to the new arena that they have.
They called it the Staples Center for so long.
Center, now
it's something else.
What is it
now?
I don't know.
They switched something.
But I've been in that arena twice. I've been there twice. Didn't get a chance to go to the old one. Would have loved to go to the old Boston Garden with the parquet floor. That would have been neat.
Yeah, those were the days. So I'll be curious to know what your experience is like there. Let's talk about the AFC Championship game here. Another great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
As I was watching the Bengals play almost the perfect game on the road to beat the Bills, I'm thinking to myself, we have just watched the day before the Chiefs win a game, but Patrick Mahomes clearly was hobbling around. And I'm thinking, the Bengals won there last year when they were a bigger underdog. Now you got Mahomes with his issue. The Bengals look like a better team. I'm thinking, but this is a lot for the Chiefs to handle here. I'm kind of leaning towards the Bengals in this game, but what do you think?
I'm going with the Bengals. Patrick Mahomes, that ankle, and he's going to play. I know he will. But it only takes, one guy to fall on your ankle. And how limited will he be? Will he be the Mahomes that could move around in a pocket, make guys miss, throw these passes off of 1 foot, jumping up in the air, throwing 20, 30 yards down the field? Will he still be able to do that? We saw some of it when he got injured, but the adrenaline was still going. Will he be with a week's rest with that ankle swelling up or whatnot, will he still be able to go out and be Patrick Mahomes? We don't know. But what we do know is that even a 70% Patrick Mahomes is better than 99% of the NFL in regards to quarterbacks. But I don't know. We talked about the Philadelphia Eagles and how stacked they were from an offensive standpoint. We look at Cincinnati, they're the same way. They got two top-flight receivers, two number one receivers in T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Tyler Boyd isn't no slouch. This is a guy that can be a starter on a lot of teams. You got a tight end that's playing really well. And not only that, you got a run game that is underrated. Mixon is a top five running back in this league. And he's made for conditions like this. When it's cold and things start to get a little rough, you turn around and you hand the ball off to him. And he's going to get you yardage. He proved it last week that in the snow in Buffalo against that defense, he was able to just pick up yardage after yardage. So much so, it was like they couldn't stop him. Yeah. So not only are you able to throw the ball with one of the best, if not the best quarterback this year in the National Football League, you can run the football as well with Joe Mixon. So it's going to be hard. The only apprehension I have with Cincinnati is the offensive line.
Yeah.
Can they hold up another game with all of those injuries that they've had? That offensive line is beat up. But they were able to, you know, band together last week and play a good game. Can they do that against a very good Kansas City defense?
Another thing, going back to when the Bengals – if you remember the Bengals, it was – I'm trying to remember the date, but the last game they lost was that Monday night game against the Browns.
Was it the Browns?
It was the Browns. And they didn't look very good in that game. But it all started coming together not long after that. They've won, what, 10 or 11 in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just starting to come together for them when they came here and they beat the Titans. At the time, the Titans were 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, after that game, pretty toe-to-toe game. Ja'Marr Chase didn't play.
Yeah.
T. Higgins had some big games. But the thing that jumped out to both of us the day after the game was how well the Bengals did on the line of scrimmage on both sides, because that's supposed to be the wrap on them. You mentioned the offensive line. Last year was a big one. They kind of had it rebuilt. Now they've got some injuries. But on the other side, I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes with limited mobility and the way the Bengals can get after the quarterback now, they've got a pretty darn good pass rush now. You know, we saw it here against the Titans. We also saw it last week in Buffalo. They got after Josh Allen, who's not easy to contain. Josh Allen is great at escaping. But I'm curious what that looks like. If Mahomes' escapability is not quite what it normally would be, that's an interesting matchup to look for.
Well, you got to have, you know, those two ends coming off the line of scrimmage in Hickerson and Reeder. You know, those are two very good players.
Very good.
And, you know, last year when the Titans played them, I don't think they had – one of the two was out one of those games. But they still were effective from a defensive standpoint, defensive line standpoint. They were able to win the game, you know, because you could always say, well, the quarterback threw three interceptions. But that defensive line did play pretty well. They held Derrick Henry to under 100 yards, I believe.
That was during the slump.
Yeah, exactly.
Derrick Henry's three or four games.
No, but
stretch.
Even in the playoffs, how many yards did he have?
Oh, you're talking about last year. Yeah, when he came back.
Exactly.
Wasn't quite the same.
Exactly.
60-something yards maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But now they seem to be fully healthy. This defensive line is getting to the passer. So can a not 100% Patrick Mahomes, you know, maneuver in the pocket well enough to get away from these pass rushers?
And does the running game support him at all? Because, you know, it's not what the Chiefs want to do. They're not going to come out and say, we're going to run it right at you. They like to just kind of keep you honest. Pacheco's been pretty good. But, you know, the same type of approach is used by the Bills, and the Bills couldn't run it very well. The Bengals took that away. So if you can – and the Titans did this. The Titans in that Monday night, that Sunday night game, where they almost pulled it off with Malik Willis. One of the reasons that they made it tough on the Chiefs is they completely took away the run. The Chiefs got nothing. So I think that's got to be what the game plan is for the Bengals. Don't let them run at all. Make them one-dimensional. Hopefully Mahomes isn't that mobile, and now we know where maybe he's going to be, and we can disrupt him a little bit. I think that there's a lot that looks good to me for the Bengals here.
Well, and then I think what really is sort of, for me, the deciding factor, they've beaten them before in Kansas City last year during the playoffs.
They've beaten them the last couple times
exactly.
in Cincinnati too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And last year, this year's team to me, is better than last year's team. They've been in that environment because it's tough to play in Kansas City, you know, late in the year in the playoffs. But they beat them. They understand how to play. They understand what to do. And Joe Burrow, I mean, this kid has so much confidence right now. I think he believes he can throw the ball blindfolded and get it to whoever he wants to. And he might be right.
That's going to be something to watch. I think that's going to be a great game. And, you know, I think we mentioned this earlier in the week, but the way the line is fluctuated, it's intriguing, right? I guess it has to do with only Mahomes' ankle, just trying to get whatever snippets of info you can get. You know those odds makers.
I'm surprised it's not a pick 'em. I think
right now,
what is it?
Each team Kansas has City been favored, one. Depending on what day you look.
Kansas City is favored by one right now.
Yeah, I think it's gone back to Kansas City. It started Kansas City, went Bengals, now it's back to Kansas City.
I guarantee you, I would almost guarantee you that by game time it's a pick 'em.
I wouldn't be surprised. All right, when we come back, Elliot Friedman is going to join us. We'll talk some hockey with him. Is the salary cap going to go up next year? That has been discussed with Gary Bettman. They had a great interview on their podcast with Connor Hellebuck. We'll also find out more about what he thinks about the Predators trending in the right direction here, and one of the best stories in hockey this year has been the New Jersey Devils. They're in town tonight to play the Predators. Big game. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts, the podcast, joins us here in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. We're live from Pete and Terry's, Predators and Devils tonight. This is 102.5 The Game.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.